Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is recorded in the book of 1 Kings in the 19th chapter, verses 1 to 8. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. So far our text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, dear Christian friends, are you acquainted with the Halls of Faith chapter in the Bible? If not, or even if you are, I would recommend it as a devotional reading this coming week. That chapter is Hebrews 11. Begins with a beautiful definition of what faith is. Faith is, verse 1 in Hebrews 11, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Or as another translation has it, it is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So faith is being convinced of the reality of things invisible to our eyes, like the creation of the world by God in 6 days, Genesis 1, from nothing. And the future joy we will experience with Him in heaven, thanks to Jesus. After providing this beautiful definition of faith, the Hebrews author goes on to record quite a few examples of people who exhibited such faith in Old Testament times. People like Abel, Enoch, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, judges like Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, men like David and Samuel, and other unnamed prophets. All these men and women of old who lived in that long 4,000 period of history leading up to the days of Jesus, during their earthly sojourn, did not receive the things God promised them yet, but spied them from afar during their earthly sojourn. They understood they were but strangers here, and they looked ahead confident and sure about receiving one day a better homeland to live in the city with unshakable foundations whose designer and builder is God. One such man of faith, unnamed but among the prophets that are alluded to in Hebrews 11, is Elijah. And this morning we want to conduct a case study of the life of Elijah, the good, the bad, and the absolutely lovely, at the same time seeing ourselves in this picture. We who, as New Testament Christians, are also walking by faith, sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. So the time frame of our text takes us back to about the year 900 BC. And the king who was reigning on the throne of Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, Ahab. Ahab, according to the Bible, was one of the, in fact, the most wicked kings of Israel. The king who instituted Baal worship in his kingdom. And it says in one of the verses in back earlier in Kings, he did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. Took as a wife his Baal-worshipping acquaintance from Sidon named Jezebel, the daughter of the pagan king of Sidon. And he even made his capital city a place, built a temple to adore and worship Baal. So it was during this reign of this very evil king of Israel that God called Elijah then to preach his word of repentance against idolatry, very strenuously, which was running rampant through the land. During this time, however, there was also much good that the Lord caused to happen in Elijah's life as a prophet of the Lord. A few things that come to mind, kind of going back earlier into 1 Kings, when God sent a severe famine as a judgment upon the idolatry and the people's wickedness as an earnest call to repentance, and food and water became scarce, he showed his goodness for Elijah by using a special DoorDash delivery service, a flock of ravens, to bring him food, meat, and drink every morning and evening by the brook Kereth, where the Lord had instructed him to go to find some water. And when that brook dried up, another good thing that the Lord made happen to Elijah, he instructed him to travel way up north to the city of Sidon, that pagan country where there was a widow living in Zarephath. And he arrived there and asked her for some food, and she said, "Well, I don't have anything. I don't have any bread, just a handful of flour and a little jar full of oil. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a final meal for myself and my son, and then we're going to probably die of starvation." Elijah said to her, "Fear not, do as you said. Make a small loaf of bread for me first, and then for yourself and your son, because the Lord has said your jar of flour is not going to run out, nor your jug of oil, till the drought is over." And then when she did as Elijah the prophet instructed, sure enough, there was enough daily food for Elijah, for her son, her flour bin, and her jar of oil never got used up. Another good thing in the life of Elijah at this time, sometime not long after that, we're told about how when that widow's son got sick and died, Elijah did the miracle in God's power of raising the little boy from the dead. And right before our text, you probably remember the famous contest that he had with the Baal prophets on Mount Carmel, where the two altars were built by the prophets of Baal and then by Elijah, and where he proved the existence, the non-existence of Baal as a false god and the existence of Jehovah, that he is God, and the reality of his love for sinners and the promise of a Savior. So we see that under God's gracious direction, Elijah did experience a lot of good in those bad times. What about your life? You can see yourself in the picture. Are you not able to recount many banner, glad moments? Though we live in a society that has a plethora of idols being worshipped, false gods people serve, evil spreading like wildfire across the world's landscape, think of the good the Lord has caused to happen in your life. Maybe some things we take for granted. Maybe not telling DoorDash ravens to drop food off at your front door, but providing you with clothes and shoes and food and water, a roof over your head, loving family members, personal belongings that you have at home, all that you need for your earthly life. And think of also of such banner moments celebratory days like your confirmation day, when you studied the catechism in depth and then at that juncture in your life made vows of allegiance to the Lord, a very happy time. Your wedding day, when you got married, the day you were blessed with the gift of children or grandchildren, the good of landing a job promotion, or if you got laid off, helping you find a new position, or maybe you got sick, maybe seriously sick, and the Lord then laid his healing hand upon you to make you well again, and strengthening you amidst trials to bear you up with his hands and lead you to accept them with a heart of patience and trust, leading you to be sure he's working all things, including the bad, for your good. Truly, friends, we have reason to sing out loudly, as Elijah also certainly could. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, let all within me join, and aid my tongue to bless his name, whose favors, his blessings, his good things to us are divine. So what about the bad? Do we experience bad in our lives? Well, living in a world that's been corrupted by sin, we know that the answer to that is yes. Can't expect it to be otherwise. The case of Elijah, in the aftermath of his great victory over the false god Baal, or the Baal prophets, in the contest with those prophets who were preaching a message that was blatantly false of a God that never even existed. When God, at the direction of God, actually, the prophet Elijah then slew or executed those 450 prophets with a sword. And then we read in our text how that queen, Jezebel, was incensed, and she sent a messenger to Elijah to tell him, "May the gods do the same to me and more also if I don't make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." In other words, Elijah, you're a dead man. And soon, very soon, they therefore ran for his life down to Beersheba in the south of Canaan. And then he traveled farther into the desert, stopped after his trek to rest under the shade of a broom tree. His frame of mind at this time was, "All my dreams have collapsed of having people brought to you, Lord, in faith as their Lord and Savior through my prophetic ministry. Your enemies are winning the day. My preaching and the miracles you enabled me to perform are a waste. Lord, it's enough. Take away my life. I'm no better than my fathers." So just think about that for a moment. Here's one of the greatest prophets of Old Testament times, Elijah, whom Jesus later would compare, or actually he compared John the Baptist to the prophet Elijah, who appeared with Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, talking with Jesus on the mountain about his passion he would soon accomplish at Jerusalem for us all. And this great prophet gets discouraged, depressed. The following episode, if you read on into the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, he ends up in a cave on Mount Horeb and laments, "I'm the only believer left," which was symptomatic, not of a faith that was sure and certain of what he couldn't see, but faltering. Here it would be good, friends, to pause and to think about for a moment one of the important takeaways from this text for us all. Think about how people like Elijah and those others mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 that we talked about before or mentioned, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, David, Samson, and so forth, were not people whose faith was robust 100% of the time. And that is not why they're listed in the Halls of Faith chapter, because they always had a strong faith and never faltered in their faith. But they're listed there as examples of weak and sinful people who lived lives of repentance, recognizing the shortcomings in their faith and sorrowing over their sins and lamenting of their faith weaknesses and praying for a greater faith and trusting in God's forgiving love in Christ Jesus as their Savior, which makes them, and here's a takeaway, people that you and I can relate to. As said before, yeah, we have good times, pleasant times, celebratory times when our trust in God perhaps is stellar, easy to trust in the Lord when everything's going well. But we also experience unpleasant times when our faith level also may dip low. And we're tempted to think God's enemies are in charge, times of physical suffering, when life is kicking us in the teeth. That ever happened? We wonder in our weakness if God is in charge and taking faithful care of us. Can the bad really serve for good? But then, like people of faith spoken in Hebrews 11, people like Elijah, the Lord graciously then leads us by his word to repent of our sinful weaknesses, our sin doubts, and say once again with faith's full assurance, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good, for those called according to his gracious purposes. And that leads us into part three, the last part of this sermon. We also want to consider the absolutely lovely in Elijah's life and also in ours. Our text goes on to tell us how Elijah, as he lay down and slept under that broom tree, how an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank, lay down again. And then the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, Elijah, for the journey is too great for you." So we'd certainly agree, would we not, that that was a very lovely thing that happened in the life of Elijah. For God to send down to earth, to buck him up in his down moment, using an angel to provide his lonely, dejected prophet with victuals to strengthen him for his journey. But you know what makes this an especially lovely example of God's goodness, unspeakable, was that this angel was in all likelihood no ordinary angel, not one of the millions of angels that God created in the beginning when he made the world to serve his believers, like the created angel he sent down to earth to announce to the Bethlehem shepherds that Jesus would be born, or the whole choir of angels that appeared and sang the carol of the ages on that night, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men," or the two that God sent to earth to announce Jesus' resurrection to the women at the tomb, or the one he sent to Simon Peter to escort him out of his jail cell at Jerusalem so that he could keep on sharing the gospel. But there are instances when God sent a very special angel to serve his people, none other than the pre-incarnate Son of God himself, who took on human flesh and form, revealing himself to his believers to personally encourage them in their faith walk. The angel who appeared, here are some examples of the angel of the Lord with a capital A. By the way, the word angel in the Hebrew and in the Greek both just simply means a messenger. Sometimes created angels, created messengers from God. Sometimes the great messenger of the covenant, Christ himself. Such was the angel who appeared to Abraham on Mount Moriah and kept him back from sacrificing his son Isaac. "Now I know that you love me more than your dear son." Or the mysterious stranger who wrestled with Jacob through the night at the river Jabbok and blessed him at daybreak. And Jacob said, "I won't let you go until you bless me." The angel of the Lord, with a capital A. Or the angel who spoke from the burning bush to Moses, promising to deliver the Israelites from slavery and identifying himself as the great I Am. And there are other instances, in addition to those, of the Lord's God himself, his Son appearing in human form to believers to buck them up spiritually and help them in their faith walk. And again, it's very likely that this was one of those instances, a truly lovely example of God's love for Elijah, of feeding him freshly baked bread, still warm from the oven, and water to slake his thirst, encouraging him in this way in his ministry as a prophet of the Lord. And oh, by the way, another example of the absolutely lovely in Elijah's life was, you probably remember the story, right at the end of his ministry, when the Lord took him directly up into heaven without dying in a fiery chariot, right into his presence to share fullness of joy and pleasures at his right hand forevermore. And similarly, friends, it's lovely, absolutely lovely, to ponder how the Lord, yeah, he sends his created angels, indeed, to serve as his ministering spirits more often than we know, to serve us and protect us. Psalm 91, he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. But again, most especially, lovely as it is to think about how we have this assurance that God's Son himself, Christ Jesus, continues to serve us in love every day, promising, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you always to the end of the age, after having ministered to us in the best of ways by laying down his life on the cross for our sins and by coming alive on Easter morn so that we might have the sure and certain hope of ascending into his presence, not in a fiery chariot, but the Lord taking us finally at the last to himself on the day of his return. So therefore, in conclusion, the opening words of the very next chapter, you might include that in your devotional reading, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Look forward to that, being sure of what you hope for, and certain of what you can't see. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Spirit.